the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Are you there?
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Rant EM Radio and to the Sports Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. William D. Morgan, half our everyday co-host, everyday contributor, all knowing of everything Ohio State, the Cleveland Browns, the Cleveland Cavs, and so forth. My man, Gene, how you doing, Gene?
Hey, what's going on?
Good, man. Got a lot to talk about this. Boy, we got a lot to talk about tonight.
Yes, we do.
But first off, as you guys already know, you guys can always call in the show, 706-993-4606, if you want to get in the conversation. You can also head on over to the Sports Report page on Facebook. Look at our stories, get your thoughts and opinions. We had a nice spirited debate on the Facebook page over Ohio State being omitted from the college football playoffs. We'll get into that as we go along. But again, a lot to talk about. Let's go ahead and get started. The first thing I want to get started on before we get into the scores, we got college football scores, got some NFL scores, and NBA scores. The first thing I wanted to get into was the Kareem Hunt situation. He was cut from the Kansas City Chiefs, and the video, here's my thing. First of all, I'm not saying that Kareem Hunt was in the right. I'm not saying that at all. I don't validate what he did. I don't agree with what he did. I don't care what she said to him. Because once you put your hand on a woman, and I'm just going to be real. Will you put your hands on not just a woman? Will you put your hands on a white woman? And you being a brother. Oh no, my dude, you done on video. It's on video. Now here's the thing that makes it suspect to me: the situation happened in February. You mean to tell me TMZ just released that thing in November? And then to make it so bad, you go. I think that video got released around 1, 2 o'clock Eastern time. By 9, he was cut. Yeah. They didn't do any more investigations. They saw that video, and they done. They were done with him. They came out with a statement the next day saying that Kareem Hunt lied. They said that Kareem Hunt told coaches, management, whoever, that he did not lay hands on that girl. That video proved otherwise. But he's on a commissioner's exempt list. He can't play. So all you fantasy heads out there, pick up Spencer Ware if you hadn't already done it. Sharkandrick West is a viable play too. They signed him earlier this afternoon. They brought him back in. But again, this whole thing, I'm not admonishing him. I'm not approving Kareem Hunt. You messed up. He seems to be apologetic. But just when that happens, just when he says he's sorry for what he did, another story comes out today saying that he beat a guy up in a nightclub or was a part of a group that beat up a guy in a nightclub in January. Dude, what is Kareem Hunt thinking?
Well, he's not.
No, not at all.
And that whole situation with the Kansas City Chiefs, for them to act as swift as they acted on it, you know, obviously there was different variations of the story.
Yeah.
Because if you look at a couple of those other guys, one from San Francisco, you look at Adrian Peterson's, you look at a couple of other cases, which that was still violent on a kid, but they at least looked at it first, and then they came down with what a you know, determination of what they was going to do. But if you look at this case here, and then you look at the Ray Rice, it's almost identical. Immediately got him off the team, immediately put him on waivers, and now, you know, he's cleared waivers. Now he's a free agent, which makes it more worse. But this kid's young. He's only 20, what, 21?
I think he's 23.
He's 23, okay. Mm-hmm. You can't deny video. I think the league botched, because I think they got in touch. I think Hunt talked to the Chiefs. And then I think the Chiefs talked to the league.
Right.
And then he was just, and then he was free to play how many, what, 10, 11 games?
He played like 10, 11 games.
Yeah, he 10, 11 games. And then, but that tells me NFL accepted the version of his events. Mm-hmm. You know, first supplied by him, and then, you know, invested in, you know, just, you know, protecting in his career, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't know, all of a sudden, where this video surfaced at, and how TMZ always has a way of getting things. How long they had the video, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was a case of trying to ruin him. I think it was just...
that time it was suspect, though. He could have been getting ready to go out to the club, have a good time, then all of a sudden he cut.
Yeah, then all of a sudden he cut and he ain't got a paycheck. And I don't think it was by any means you can condone what he done. There's no way to there's no way to defend it.
Right.
So, you know, he completely apologized for all those actions. But when you apologize after the fact, and we got this evidence, and before, you say nothing, which 9 times out of 10, 99% of those situations, they tend to go this way. They tend to, he said, well, there's nothing to happen, because I'm still trying to figure out in this whole process, where is this female?
Right. Right.
Because ain't nobody saying, you know, you would think they would, you know, try to pursue her. At least the media would try to pursue her to get her side of the story. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we're not seeing that. So once again, but the video speaks for itself. She really doesn't have to say anything. Mm-mm. I mean, at this point, because he's losing his job. And I don't think he can be picked up until he comes off that exempt list or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, so he'll be on that probably for a while, I would presume. I mean, at least through this season anyway. But it was a bad. You and I both know it was bad. It looked it bad. You know, he shouldn't have did it. And you can't say, oh, yeah, because if I sit here and say, oh, well, he's young, he's going to make those type of mistakes. Well, I can't say that, because I think from the video, just from the one video I seen, the very first video that surfaced, he had an opportunity to just not be involved in this.
Right.
He walked away. He came back. He walked away. He came back. Obviously, she was probably egging it on, I'm sure. And she probably said some things, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, she did. It came out in a report that she said the N-word.
Mm-hmm, yep, she said that. She said the almighty N-word.
But despite that point.
But what's your name had a good point. Stephen A. Smith had a real good point about the N-word. He said, how long have we been called this word?
Yes. Yes.
You mean to tell me you balance out your paycheck and you balance out somebody calling you the N-word? Especially in that situation, he was saying, and you forget about that you're an NFL player at that point in time.
Yep.
Yeah, it don't balance out. But like Stephen A. said, makes no sense. You've heard it before. There's other ways to handle it.
Yep. To me, as a single father of 47 years, 47 years old, rather. you have to walk away from stuff like that because it does you no good to retaliate back. It does you no good at all. I had a situation in my life about a month ago. I guess I wasn't walking fast enough out of Walgreens. old white dude, he had to be in his maybe 50s, mid-50s, spat in my face and called me the N-word. I just said, well, sir, you have a great day, and I walked off because I remembered I have children.
Yes, sir.
I have brothers and sisters who need me around. So that's the thing you have to remember. And in his case, it's that money factor there. You can't let that risk you have you lose out on millions of dollars. That's your livelihood.
Now, absolutely, because there's some things that's a body of work, so to speak.
Yep, that's right.
And in that particular case with you, you kind of think how I think. Some things are not, doesn't need entertained.
Right.
And at the end of the day, we have to always, especially in the case where we're, you know, a sole provider, and we always have to think down the road, this will be a lose-lose situation. But if I can walk away because your particular situation, my particular situation, some situations are totally different. Mm-hmm. But in your particular situation, it's a win situation when I walk away.
Right.
And me and you're here talking tonight. This could have been totally different if you would have responded.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different.
I can see the story in the media now. Ladies and gentlemen, full disclosure, I'm 6'3". 310 pounds. I can see the story right now. Big black man beat up little white man over the N-word. I can see that right now.
Ooh. And then the headline or the first call that'll be made, the 911 call, it wouldn't be yes, there's a fight. It'll be white man down.
White man down. That's a big black man beating down a white man. We need help here. Please come help this man. But regardless of the fact, I hope he right now, I don't think a GM's gonna touch him while he's on that list. I don't think Kansas City will pick him back up. As Stephen A. said also with Andy Reid, as caring and as giving as Andy Reid has been in the past to his players, he thought it was incredible that he cut him as quick as he did, and I don't think he'll come back to the Chiefs franchise.
Well, it's almost that particular part of termination to me, it was really depicted on what he told the owners, what he told maybe the GM, and what he told the coach.
Yep,
and he probably felt like you can only protect the person so much on the amount of information that you do give them, because they knew and were aware of the incident.
Right.
And I think truly, and I'm not even going to put this on all on Hunt not being forthcoming. Mm. I'm going to put it on you guys knew this guy is a bona fide star in this league. Mm-hmm. And you needed him on the team.
Yep.
And you done everything you could to sweep that up under the rug.
Yep.
Now it's coming back and biting the NFL in the butt because you have prior knowledge. Because
yes.
It goes all the way back. When we say prior knowledge, it goes all the way back to Penn State.
Yes. Yes.
It goes all the way back to this year Ohio State.
Yes.
Yeah, you knew. You knew. It's a clause. It's a clause in their contract, I'm sure, about prior knowledge of certain incidents that wasn't reported. Now the NFL's covering their butt by getting rid of him.
Yep.
You know, and hopefully he... You know, and he said in the interview, the apology interview, he stated that he didn't talk to the NFL. The only people he talked to after that incident was the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
He didn't talk to the NFL.
Right.
So, to me, now here's the thing: are you protecting the NFL to get back in the league? Or did you really talk to the NFL? Because I'm sure, and I'm almost positive, if you'll kick a guy off a football team because he drunk a drink on a plane back to your facilities, and I'm talking about none other than Josh Gordon.
I knew it.
After all the incidents that he had, you drug test him as soon as he lands and gets off this plane, and you kick him out of the league. So is Kareem Hunt protecting the NFL by saying, nope, I didn't even talk to those guys. They had no knowledge of what happened. But the Chiefs had already admitted that they had talked to the league about the whole situation.
Right.
And probably at that point, I would say, and said, well, we'll handle it in-house. But they had prior knowledge. Now the video comes out. Now say, okay, we didn't know about the video.
Right.
So that's what's hanging on the that's what's hanging on for the NFL. That's keeping them in the good of all this. It's like, well, we didn't see the video.
Yep. Now there's a running joke out there saying that Bill Belichick provided the TMZ with that video.
That Bill Belichick did it.
Yep. Bill Belichick gave him the video. I will put it past
him. It wouldn't surprise me if they did. It wouldn't surprise me because you know they'll flatten the football.
Yep. You know
they'll record some things. you know they're always up to something.
It would not surprise me at all. Let's go. But I just want to make one thing clear. Jenny Taft and Shannon Sharp got into it on Undisputed, and Jenny Taft was saying Kareem Hunt needed to be banned for life. And Shannon Sharp came back at her, and I'm kind of worried about Shannon because you can't be going at these white women like this. He came back and said, well, if you do it for football players, you need to do it for doctors. You need to do it for lawyers. You need to do it for everybody, despite of what your profession is. And Jenny Taft did not respond to that. She said that football players need to be held to that because they are the higher standard. But Shannon's point, and I get it. I don't always agree with Shannon Sharp, but I get his point, because if you're going to hold football players to that higher standard, how about doctors? How about lawyers? How about firemen? How about, if that's going to be universally the thing to get banned for life for that, which that incident, by the way, was not domestic abuse. That seemed more like assault than domestic abuse. But
Absolutely. And I think that's what they're actually calling that.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling it an assault.
Yeah.
They're not calling it a domestic dispute, because these two obviously probably wasn't in a relationship, right, have no kids together. Mm-hmm. You know, those are things that bind that keep it from an assault to a domestic, is their relationship.
Yep.
And but, you know, Shannon Sharp, I agree with him, and I think he's got to remember that he's talking to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no knock on it. You know, what was the one on Get Up that was with Jalen Rose, and she had to lead a show because she said she wouldn't cover either college football or NFL football because of the Ohio State incident.
Oh.
Because Beto. Her last Beadle. Name was Michelle Beadle.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm not covering it. So the network said, well, we can't have you here then.
Well, I don't think they fired her. I think they moved her to a different
yeah.
position.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where she moved to. I think she moved to within, I don't know if she even stayed within ESPN.
She may have left since
yeah,
that
she might
point.
Have left ESPN. But my whole point is, you know, they have their variations of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because either they got a friend or somebody who's, you know, been involved in that type of situation. They know what it does to a person,
right,
with the abuse. And I get it. You know, I'm not knocking it. But at the end of the day, you know, when they said something about, you know, when you started singling out football players is where I had a problem at.
Yeah.
And when we start singling out, you saying, well, doctors and lawyers and this and that third, here's the deal. When doctors and lawyers and all those guys do it, they tend to get their license stripped.
Yep.
And in the NFL, And we've seen it over and over again. Mm-hmm. These guys commit that particular incident,
right,
and they still, at some point, sometimes, just depending on how severe or it was, or, you know, detrimental to the team or to the league, they'll tend to let these guys back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a forgiving sport.
Unless you kneel for the flag. But I digress. Let's move into a situation that was about domestic abuse. And to make it so damn bad, to me, he's a damn fool. Reuben Foster. Now, his issue was about domestic abuse. The girl claimed that on him earlier in the year and said when he was with the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Then she backtracked her statement saying it never happened. She was trying to get money. Well, now, Reuben Foster hooked back up with her, which makes you a damn fool. Because if someone is claiming to take my livelihood from me and you get back with them, you a damn fool. And he gets with her, flies her, I believe, from San Francisco to Florida, and next thing you know, she's going back saying the same domestic charges again, and she's saying this time she's gonna follow through. Well, since this happened, the 49ers released Reuben Foster. The league did not put him on. I believe they did put him on the exempt list. I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to check into that. But since he got released, he got picked up
on waivers.
He got picked up by the Redskins.
By the Redskins, and here we go. Here's the double standard here. Now here's the double standard. We talking about Reuben Foster, who is charged with a domestic situation.
Yep.
Then we have Kareem Hunt, who is allegedly at the beginning. Now we've seen the video. But it's an assault on a female.
Right.
We don't pick Hunt up on waivers.
Mm-hmm.
We let him go to free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And they pick Reuben Foster up right away. And I think both of these athletes give the same to the sport.
Right. And I think the only thing that makes the Redskins play or picking him up so bad was the fact they didn't even invest the situation. They did not even investigate the situation at all.
Dan Snyder didn't even take a blink.
Nope.
And said, yeah, bring this guy in. So, I mean, do you think it's obviously there's more to the story that they might know?
I don't think they know anything else. I think the only reason why they brought him there, I think it was the same reason why the Saints – did what they did with their defensive backfield when they picked up old boy from the Giants. When they picked him up from the Giants and put him in that secondary, we have a lot of Ohio State players that's in that secondary. So you can say sort of kind of the same thing with the Redskins, because a lot of those D linemen, some of the linebackers are from Alabama. But then the only thing that makes me cause to pause about that, the Redskins came out with a statement saying that we talked to his former teammate, said he was a great guy, be a great addition. But the former teammates that they spoke with, saying, no, they didn't ask us nothing about Reuben Foster. So,
And to go back over what we were saying, they actually did put him on the exempt list.
Yep.
Okay. So, but I don't know, it's not really clarifying why they retracted him off of that list, and then why, you know, the Redskins were able to pick him up. But, you know, executive GMs around the league are at a point where they're like, this looks bad.
Yep. They
didn't know. Yeah, my biggest thing is like I said, I'm comparing Foster's situation with Hunt's situation, and I say with Hunt's situation, he's more likely, you know, I think the difference is that you got video on Hunt and you have no video. It's hearsay,
right,
for Foster.
Right, right.
So I think once it's hearsay, that's a little bit more workable,
right,
so to speak. I mean, it shouldn't happen because it's accusation. Mm-hmm. But when we have video.
Concrete proof.
Concrete, because like Ray Rice, over with.
Well, I want to say this too. I was on another show last night. I was on The Word last night, and I said it there as well. Ray Rice, yes, their video, but keep in mind he was also playing bad at that time too. So if that didn't get him out the league, his own play would have got him released.
Would eventually got him out. Yeah,
would eventually got him out. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So either or, he was done. He showed contrition. He said it was sorry. And the league still wouldn't let him back in. I don't think that'll happen to Kareem Hunt. I think someone will pick. He will be on a roster. I don't think he'll be on Kansas City's roster.
Yeah.
But he'll be.
I think he will too. Roster. I just got this information. Foster will remain on the exempt list while the matter is being reviewed.
Okay.
So they did pick him up. Redskins did pick him up, but he is not able to play.
Okay, so you mean Reuben Foster?
Reuben Foster. I'm okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And Hunt actually is still on the exempt list too. So we are. Yeah. I know we won't see him probably for a while.
You probably won't see Hunt till next year.
Yeah. If. And he'll probably start out with 6, 7, 8 game suspension.
Easy. Yeah. I think your Raiders might be the team to sign him.
The who?
The Raiders.
Now, Raiders said David said he absolutely was against, and this is even before the Hunt incident, he was absolutely against bringing those type guys with those type issues onto the team. But, and you know what? John Gruden's there, and John Gruden's my guy.
That's your guy.
And I know John Gruden. He just cleaned up the locker room.
Yeah, he did.
We don't need that. We don't need no more incidents. We need to go to Las Vegas.
Right.
And be a competitor.
Clean slate. All right, let's get over some of these other topics we're going over. Mike McCarthy is now officially out as Packers head coach. Did this move happen a year or two too late?
Bad move.
Why do you say that?
Because I think it was more based on talent than it was their play. What's going on with them? I don't think it was McCarthy. Mm-hmm. His not saying that as a good, because he has a hell of a resume.
Yes,
13 seasons down there. They made the playoff 2 years ago, and all of a sudden you're having a couple down years. But you also got rid of a Jordy Nelson. You also got rid of is Cobb still? I think Cobb's gone.
No, Cobb's still there. He's just been hurt. But they did.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, Cobb's hurt. What was the other receiver?
How you get rid of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix?
You get rid of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
I don't understand that.
2 years ago, their biggest thing coming into the draft was getting pass rushers.
Yep.
They wanted pass rushers. Okay, we're going to work on this defense. So now, 2 years down the road into the future, we were so busy trying to put this defense together for so many years that you let your offense dwindle.
Yep.
So I think it was a bad move. You let Mike McCarthy go. I think Mike McCarthy is still a grade A coach, and I think he'll be successful wherever he goes. Was it Philibom who's filling in for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Philibom who's filling in. I think they had an interview, and he said it was the wrong move. But once again, he said, that's my personal opinion. This is one man's opinion. Mm-hmm. And I thought it wasn't based on coaching. I really thought it was based on talent and the aging of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you live. Guys,
he needs studs. Look, ask Tom Brady.
Mm. Well, you let High Clinton Dix go. You let Jordy Nelson go. I heard Jordy Nelson was contemplating retirement
from the Raiders.
It's a bad situation down there. You're not the only one who feels that way. I talked to a couple of other users on the Facebook page feeling the same way, that they need to get rid of both. They need to get rid of both of them. Just blow that thing up and start from scratch. Don't have a lot of talent, particularly on defense. You let why in God's name did you let Julius Peppers go? I don't know. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix gone. I don't get it. But if the quarterback can't be your scapegoat, it's got to be the head coach.
Definitely. I mean, you know, Will, they're gonna get rid of the coach. He's the first one only because at least with the Green Bay Packers and Mike McCarthy, he is the offensive coordinator and the head coach.
Yep.
So we can't go, you know, let's get the offensive coordinator first, and then, you know, that would save McCarthy, I believe, if they would have had one.
Exactly.
And we keep him, but since he's controlling the total offense, you know, but like I said, once again, with how many games left? Four games left, maybe?
We got like four games left, I believe.
Mm-hmm. With four games left, I don't get rid of McCarthy.
At least you wait until the end of the season.
At least we wait until the end of the season. We go through the draft. Mm-hmm. We just go through normal procedure. Mm-hmm. Come back in camp, pick up some free agents, and then we don't waste any time. If game four, next season, we're seeing the same energy or production, then let's make a move.
Right. I think they just rushed it.
I think they jumped the gun on this one.
Yeah.
Because I think he meant more to Green Bay than they actually realized, and I think they're going to find that out.
We'll see what happens. Let's move over to the college game for a second and get those issues out of the way. Alabama had a great comeback win versus Georgia. Can they keep it up with Tua out? They're talking about Tua's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. Can they do their thing in a playoff with Jalen Hurts if they have to?
I don't think so. Let me tell you why. Because if we look at last year, when Tua came in, Tua was dynamite.
He was.
Healthy.
He was.
I mean, he was healthy. He was dynamite.
Yep.
Then they came into the season, and they tried to early. They tried to see what, you know, what both of them could bring to the offense, because that was Saban's way of having evaluation in front of everybody, so everybody won't say, hey, it was a quarterback controversy. He really liked this Tua guy. He really wanted him in there. No, he let him go early in the first couple games, and he's seen Tua make that offense work a little bit.
Yep.
I think Hurts, that's what he does good right there. Mm. Comes in and finishes the job. Mm. I don't know what total pressure and the starting ability. I don't know if he I like Hurts. I think he's one of the most resilient guys, especially go through that because he had an opportunity to probably leave Alabama. But he chose to stay and buy into what was going on.
Would have been me, I would have been straight gone. Once two of them named that starting quarterback, bye. Holla.
Anybody else probably would have been gone. He stayed, and it paid dividends right now. Yep. So he's definitely going to get a good look in the league. There's no doubt about it. He's a national championship quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We can't deny that. But at the end of the day, I think Tua brung more to that offense in bigger games.
Right.
So we'll see.
Plus, Tua hadn't played a full quarter yet.
No, he ain't had to. You know, them is robots.
As we stand right now, your top four teams, as we stand right now, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, God willing how they got there. Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, Gene, and I'm going to give you the floor for a minute. Did Ohio State get robbed? Did they get screwed in this? Because I think they got screwed. I really do.
I think when you, like, when we evaluate it from how shaky, and we're talking about, when we say a body of work, we're talking about the scandal. We're talking about the Purdue loss. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Urban Meyer being sick. You have to throw all those things, even though they didn't have one of the particularly hard schedules this year, but the way they rallied the troops down the stretch of that schedule.
Oh, don't forget, no Bosa.
And then, I was going to get to that. And then we get depleted on the edge with Bosa gone. Mm-hmm. Played pretty much mediocre football up until the Michigan game. Mm-hmm. The front seven was fantastic in that game.
Yeah, it was.
Without Bosa.
Yep.
So what to me that was an energy thing, and it was Shiano putting together the right schemes for what's there against, especially against Michigan, which that was their weakest point, was their offensive line, their tackle.
Right.
So he took advantage of that. He took advantage of that situation, which he's supposed to.
Yep.
But for you to come back, beat Michigan decisively, the number four ranked team, and when the rankings come out, we didn't even move above Georgia, who loses two games. And I don't care how those games went, you lost two games.
Yep.
So at worst, we should have been at five.
Yeah.
At worst. At best, we could clear four. And the reason why I say that is because I like Oklahoma. I ain't going to sit here and deny that. I think they can play in that. They can play in that playoff. I also think Clemson is the only team that could probably beat Alabama if they put it together.
Right.
And but this whole Notre Dame is a, to me, they shouldn't be there on the strength. They haven't consistently been a force in the rankings. They're a non-conference team. They don't play for a conference championship.
That's my thing right there. That's my thing right there. They don't play for a conference championship. So,
and that's one of the criteria that they look at. Mm-hmm. This committee looks at on, you know, the body of work.
Right, right.
That's and then, thing. And you know, and then we turn around and then they holler undefeated. Okay, what about UCF?
True that.
Because UCF been solid.
Yep, for years.
But there we go.
For years.
They have showed me that they can be there.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't deal with UCF because of, you know why. The following.
Yep. And ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, just because the team is undefeated doesn't mean that undefeated record is the same as an undefeated record should be. If you go back and you look at Notre Dame's wins, there's nothing really there that stands out other than Michigan.
Man.
And they got rocked. The Stanford win. Nah, I ain't buying that one. I'm not buying that one. It puts a bad taste in my mouth because at the end of the day, the National Football Championship, the playoff should be about competitiveness and being competitive and balanced.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always said Ohio State should be in. If we put them at four, I'd take that because you're looking at a team that can compete.
Yep.
Oklahoma don't play no defense, but they can score the football.
They got such a high-powered offense.
Yep. And we all know how special Clemson is. We all know how special Alabama is. Where does Notre Dame fit in that?
Right. And Notre Dame doesn't fit.
No.
And I think what they're, like you said, when you look at the strength of the schedule and the teams that they played, obviously Michigan stands out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was Michigan ranked. That was first game of the season. What were they ranked? Eighth, ninth, or whatever they was ranked. But I think Michigan was a worse team than when the middle of their schedule, and then they just fell off completely when they played us Ohio State.
Yep.
But UCF is totally undefeated,
yep.
And they play in this AAC conference, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you got teams like UConn, you got Cincinnati there, South Florida, Houston, you know, Memphis, Navy, and I think what happens with UCF is they get caught up in this bad conference of teams that aren't ranked.
Right.
You know what I mean, Will?
Yeah.
Nobody's ranked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's horrible. You know, I think they've won 8 games in that conference, and the next person is 7 games. That was Temple. So we're talking about, and we got a few teams that's under 500. A few teams in there that's under 500.
Jesus,
so I think when you look at UCF, which I like UCF at 12-0, but I think UCF should have been ahead of Michigan when we're talking consistently being somewhere in the top 10, top 12, right. top every year.
Right. And we're so busy looking at the undefeated record, we're forgetting consistency. We're forgetting balance. We're just forgetting the things that set up for the best playoffs for the fans. It's not to reward someone like a Notre Dame for being for just being undefeated. No, because we all know they're gonna get drugged. I think right now they're playing against Clemson.
That's right.
That first game.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Really? I mean, I realize you played a game, and I get and I get that. But all signs point to Clemson winning that game in a competitive, in convincing fashion. So, I don't know.
But you look at where Clemson is, and they play in the ACC, and you look at they got some tough teams there. You know, Syracuse been giving guys fits all year.
Yep.
You got Pitt. Pitt's been giving teams fits, a little bit of fits all year. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Georgia Tech's been there, you know, a little bit. Yep. Everybody else is pretty much down, but when you're looking at conference, you know, Clemson obviously is there because they've been good the last few years.
Yep.
You know, because they got a couple teams there, but they're not as good. But what I'm saying is they've been there and they've proved that they can play against those powerhouses.
Yep.
You know, and then you look at Oklahoma. Now we go to the Big 12 conference. Okay, you got Oklahoma, which has a decent Texas team, a decent Iowa State team, mm-hmm. a decent West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a 10 team conference, 10-12 team conference. So you're looking at Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma. The reason why they look at them is because of the simple fact of the conference that they're playing in and that they're also a mainstay.
Right, right, right. That's true. All right, before we get into the rest of our topics to finish up our night, let me hit the scoreboard real quick. This is the college football scoreboard. Number 11, Washington defeats number 17, Utah 10-3. Number 1, Alabama comes back to beat Georgia 35-28. I live in Augusta, Georgia, and these people around here was just like freaking shell-shocked when they lost. And why are you shell-shocked? This Bama you playing against. If you don't put them away, you have to expect them to come back. Number 2, Clemson defeats Pittsburgh. Number 5, I didn't even write this freaking score down. Damn, Will. Oklahoma, number 5, Oklahoma defeats number 14, Texas, 39-27. Number 6, Ohio State defeats Northwestern, 45-24. Northwestern was 10-1 at the time. Number 8, UCF, 56, Memphis, 41. Number 25, Fresno State upsets number 22, Boise State, 19-16. And number 23, Iowa State defeats Drake, 27-24. But we'll see what they do. And at least we should have, if the playoffs don't go the way that we expect, we should at least have some good bowl games at least. At least.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think you got Alabama and Alabama-Oklahoma would be a great opener.
Yep, yep.
But this Clemson and Notre Dame, Clemson is going to annihilate them. Because Notre Dame hasn't been there.
Nope.
This team has, you know, been put together in the last year, which is great. And like I said, it's always good that you can put a team together and you get there. But I just don't see competitive-wise, I don't see them. No, Ohio State's been there. They know what it takes to be there, even over Michigan, even over Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I think you go with everybody. And I think coming from the region I live in, we all want to see Ohio State because we're so spoiled. Because it's a winning season every year.
Right.
You know, we lose 3 games, but that's a tough season.
Right.
You know, so I think ultimately, and they have a hell of a following.
Yeah, that's true. And they do travel.
Yes,
they travel. So
they travel.
They do travel.
Yeah, and that's what you want. You want the gate.
Yep.
You know, you want a good game, too. I just don't think Notre Dame provides that.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. And number two, Clemson defeats Pittsburgh 42-10 to go back on that for a quick second. Let me go over the NFL scores real fast. Cowboys score a victory over my Saints 13-10. Ravens defeat the Falcons 26-16. Broncos defeat the Bengals 24-10. Rams defeat the Lions 30-16. Cardinals defeat the Packers 20-17. Dolphins beat the Bills 21-17. The Giants upset the Bears 30-27. Dolphins beat the Bills, by the way, 21-17. Bucks defeat the Panthers 24-17. Jags defeat the Colts in a battle of just can't score a touchdown, 6-0. I was very mad about the game because I started Andrew Luck, Marlon Mack, and T.Y. Hilton in fantasy in the league, and they do nothing. Dang, really? Texans defeat the Browns. Brian Sight III took a step back in this one, 29-13. Titans defeat the Jets, 26-22. Chiefs defeat the Raiders, 40-33. Patriots defeat the Vikings, 24-10. Seahawks defeat the 49ers, 43-16. Welcome back, Russell Wilson. The Chargers defeat the Steelers, 33-30 in a very competitive Sunday night game. We also had a game tonight in which the Redskins lost another QB. Martin Sanchez is now their starting quarterback after Colt McCoy goes down with a fibula injury.
Mm.
But the Eagles defeat the Redskins 28-13. Man, it's coming down to it, boy. And Dallas is playing with confidence right now. They're looking very, very good. The Eagles look good tonight. Golden Tate got down, 7 receptions for 85 yards. Adrian Peterson still looking like the man, 9 carries for 98 yards and a touchdown. Your boy Mark Sanchez for the Redskins came in 13-21, 100 yards, 1 INT. Carson Wentz, as always, is just the man, 27-39, 306 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Now, NFC East is coming down to it. I believe Dallas plays Philadelphia one more time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in Dallas.
So
we'll see if Philly can be up to the test to beat the boys or them boys at home. We shall definitely see. All right, let's get back to our topics here very quickly before we get on out of here for the night. That Carolina loss.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers lost to the Bucks. Cam Newton just looked terrible. He had 4 interceptions. Can we trust the Panthers?
At 6-6, I don't know. And they're thinking on a 4-game losing streak.
Yep.
Nah, I don't think so. I think they reached their peak for the season. I think they finish 8-8. Be honest. I think they can squeeze out 2 more. They'll finish at 500. But yeah, I don't see it at this point. Because Cam in his post game presser, he just looked disgusted again. You know, he wasn't his original flashy self, you know, in his post-game presser. So, and I usually watch that NFL Monday quarterback and watch a lot of press conferences. You know, you can tell when guys are checking out.
Yeah,
they're checking out. He's a high, but, you know, Cam is a high fantasy guy.
He is.
I mean, 20 points a week with this guy.
Yeah.
It's not so much predicated on, I think they just had a tough time keeping balance amongst that team, like as far as the offensive line,
right,
then as far as the defense. You know, every year it changed for them. And I think that's what we're starting to see.
Another thing, too, Greg Olsen went out of this game. I heard from somewhere he's out for the year, but I couldn't confirm that. But goes out of this game again with an apparent foot injury.
So mm-hmm.
We'll have to keep an eye on that. But I saw a report somewhere he was out for the year. Definitely will follow up on that. But to go back on Cam Newton's day, 28-41, 300 yards.
It is season ending.
Okay, season
ending. It's actually a foot ending.
Introducing the first SUV from Ford.
Okay, ad played. Sorry about that. But Cam Newton, 28-41, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, sacked mm-hmm. 4 times. As Skip Bayless says, his QBR rating was 25.3.
And you know what? For Cam, that's bad.
Yeah.
because Carolina commits to the pass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just had a conversation with a young guy on Facebook about the same thing. He compared, you know, Brian Sipe II and Lamar Jackson. He tried to compare those two, and he wanted to throw up that, you know, Lamar Jackson hasn't reached over 75 on the QBR. And my whole thing is, that's an individual thing.
Right.
And you can only evaluate a QBR by what your offense does.
Right.
So if you commit to the pass, obviously if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll have a high QBR. Mm-hmm. If you're committing to the run, obviously it's slower.
Right.
So, you know, and Lamar Jackson has gained over 60. I'd say the least he's had is 70 yards, I want to say, of rushing in three games as a starter. Mm-hmm. You know, close to 100 yards. One game was 119 over three games. Three interceptions over three games,
right,
versus Brian Sipe, who's a bona fide passer. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. It's not equating the wins right now,
right,
but he's nailing it for 300 yards,
yeah,
a game,
yeah,
because of the offensive scheme, the offensive setup. It's a passer's offense.
Yep.
Versus with Lamar Jackson, your QBR is going to go down if I run the ball 10 times.
Right.
So yeah, there's that. With that, and that, as far as Cam Newton's concerned, you know, that's pretty bad for Cam Newton because they let him do what he passes off a lot.
Yep.
So that's pretty, he's stinking it up right now.
And you brought up Lamar Jackson. Are you sold on him as the Ravens starter?
You know what? I like what I've seen. And I think the three games that he's played, I think that's been bona fide competition for a rookie.
Yes.
So I think he's done well. I'm not saying he's had a perfect game as a quarterback, but he's definitely a dual threat.
Yep.
And he's a playmaker.
Yep.
And in those games where I think this last one they were down, I think they, what was it, 20? What was the last score of that game?
26-16.
Yes.
Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Which we know the Falcons have got probably one of the worst defenses.
Yes.
But we're still talking about a rookie quarterback.
Right.
And playing his, third game of the season where he's getting a great amount of time.
Yep.
So we're seeing the athlete. I just don't see the accurate Thor.
Right, you just see the accurate.
Yeah, his passing is, he's not traditional at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got, that's something he probably has to work on. But I knew coming into the league, that's what you was getting with him. You was getting a more of a dual threat, more of an athletic guy, more of a guy that's going to take off and run. And they're allowing him to do that. Not saying that Brian Sipe can't take off and run, because he does run, but he runs east-west.
Right.
And Lamar Jackson goes north-south. So we're talking about two different styles of runners, even though they both do the same thing. They both can – Brian Sipe is probably better at throwing on the run versus Lamar. Lamar's going to tuck it and go because he knows he can get by guys.
Right.
But I think that helps. Obviously, it shows, you know, which is better because it's equating the wins for Jackson.
Right.
Will be in the number 32 pick.
Now, like I said, it's good to see him getting in there, getting some playing time over Joe Flacco, who's out with injury. So hopefully Lamar can hold on to that starting role. Let's see what the Ravens can do. It's nice to see the Ravens being a little bit energized by having him in there. Real quickly, I want to go over one more thing if I can find it real quick on my paper. Are we sleeping on Phillip Rivers for MVP?
I tell you what, he's a top five quarterback every year.
Yep.
He just had I think they had a report that he just had another kid. I think he's at like 9.
God. No, sir.
Dude.
No, sir.
Right. But he know that, you know, because I think some – maybe some people get it confused. Like, okay, yeah, we have kids. Yeah, we have kids, but they grow. They don't stay the same age. They get more expensive. But I mean, he's making league money. I mean, but 9 kids, dude. You mean to tell me your whole offseason you make babies every year?
Well, it looks like right now, just looking at the stats, it looks like he has a chance to go over 4,000 yards or get four, or close to it. He's at 3,418 right now, 3,418. Mm-hmm. He's close. 28 touchdowns with a QBR of 77. So, yes, Melvin Gordon's out for a little bit, but when he comes back, he'll probably reach 1,000. He's at 802, and Keenan mm-hmm. Allen is at 996 with 5 touchdowns, including that big, huge game he had last night. Woo!
You know what? But Phillip Rivers has just been consistent, man. Yeah. I like Phillip Rivers. That's why, you know, I always say every year, you know, they ask about quarterbacks, and I said, you know what? Phillip Rivers has been just as tough as Tom Brady. Yes. Not as, and not in the winning it all department or having a complete team, but as a quarterback, he's been consistent.
Oh yeah, he has been. He really has.
You know what I mean? Like you said, he's got what, 3,400 yards.
Mm-hmm. 3,400 yards right now. 28 touchdowns, QBR 77. That's not.
Yeah. And when you look at the plus minus from 28 TDs to 6 interceptions, that's pretty efficient to me.
Not bad at all.
No, it's not bad at all.
All right, real quick, let's go over this NBA scores, and I'm gonna have our final question of the night, and we're gonna roll out of here. I gotta get up in the morning. We got a couple of finals. Thunder defeat the Pistons 110-83. Warriors defeat the Hawks 128-111. Cavs beat the Nets 99-97. Wizards beat the Knicks 110-107. Nuggets defeat the Raptors 106-103. Timberwolves defeat the Rockets 103-91. And the Clippers defeat the Pelicans 129-126. Question of the night. I'm going back to that Steelers game. Is Big Ben a bad leader?
In my opinion, I think it's, I don't know, he's getting in that red zone and he's doing some things now unlike what he used to, I guess because of age. I don't think he's been a bad leader. I think, you know what, he's been there, he's got the experience. You know, I thought they turned it on midway through the season. You know, they got better, obviously, defensively. He does some things offensively. I don't think he's a bad leader. I think, you know, you need a guy like him. You know what I mean? I think he's a blue collar guy. Mm-hmm. His, you know, stuff that go on with him is pretty like regular guy stuff. Like, you know, you have issues with women. Right. You know, I mean, I can relate to that. I can relate to him. You know, type of guy like him. He's not so high strung. He's not Hollywood. You know what I mean? I think he's a decent leader.
My only issue with him is how he calls his teammates out in press conferences. And because he got Taggartitis, and when I say Taggartitis, he doesn't take accountability for us. He don't take accountability for nothing. It's always someone else's fault. Like the loss the week before when they played Denver, and he blamed Antonio Brown for not running that route shallow enough, dude. We have to get better, and everything starts with me.
Well, Antonio, in the same set of interviews, they interviewed Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown said, you know what? They asked him about Roethlisberger's criticism. And he said, you know what? It's not personal. It's business. You know what I mean? So, like I said, you know, I guess it's all how you take it. Right. But, you know, he does have to take accountability. Leaders take accountability. Yep. And they don't finger point.
Yep.
But I think in this case, you know, people don't want to give it credit for, you know, his years of service. You know, he's looking at this guy's been around for a while, so you obviously have to take some things into an account.
Got two Super Bowls.
Two Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. It's not personal. If Antonio Brown, the best receiver, damn near in the league, says, I don't take that personal. Right. I take that as a kind of a wake-up call. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, because we know guys that won't throw nobody under the bus.
Right.
You know, such as, you know, the LeBron James, is, you know, he ain't going to throw nobody under the bus.
Nah.
You know, he puts it all on me. I have to get better.
Right.
You know, so, he does. But Ben's not going to do that.
No. All right. Anything else you want to get out there and promote before we get out of here for the night, man?
No, pretty good, man. We had a pretty decent night. And I'm just sitting here really trying to get over this not being able to see Ohio State play for a national championship.
Yeah, it sucks, man.
We got a Rose Bowl, though.
Yeah.
Got a good bowl.
Yeah,
I just hate to see it because I think this is going to be Urban Meyer's last run.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be his last run, too.
Yep.
We shall see. We shall see.
And we talked about that whole because it's been about a month, and I think I missed a couple podcasts. I missed one, and then I got back on last week. But because we never really did get to talk about that incident, the totality of the racism,
right?
The Walmart incident, you know what I'm saying, and the overall scope of what's going on in America. And I think it's not an isolated incident with you. I think it's everywhere. I think when you have a leader of a country and he kind of agitates that.
Yep.
And I think, you know, some particular people get bold about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's taken us back probably about 40 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that situation, I just wanted to personally say to you, because I've been thinking about it, but we never had time to really just, I never had time to, like, address it like I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. And like I said, no matter what, I thought you were a stand-up guy in that situation.
Thank you.
Because of the simple fact, it's not about you.
Right.
And that's how you was thinking. So that let me know at that point in time, even when I read the comments in the post, you said, you know what, everything that you touched on, pretty much every comment that you answered was, I'm not a me guy. It's not about me. It was mainly about my kids. It was a outright, cause some things that some people do, it becomes the norm for them,
right?
Even though it was wrong, that's how they normally have acted over X amount of years.
Right.
So they don't think nothing of it. No, you know what I mean?
No different.
But like I said, but I thought you was exceptional.
Thank you.
And I thought your thought process was in the right place, and it shows me that you're not a selfish guy.
Thank you.
And you obviously understand is bigger than one entity.
Yes.
So I'm absolutely proud of that.
Thank you. Thank you for that, my friend. I do appreciate it. Do appreciate that. And we as African Americans, we need some time just to slow down for a second.
And think. Because a lot of things that happen is based on response.
Yep.
It's how we respond to it. We both can get angry. It's how you respond to the anger.
Yes.
It's how you react to it.
Yes.
It's what you do after you get angry, because anger is a natural feeling. It's what you do when you get angry.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me you're a thinking man.
Thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and finish things up for the night. Join us tomorrow right here on rantamradio.com. We got two shows coming. We got two shows coming your way tomorrow. We got the Shining. We're just seeing you at 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by the Rant at 9 p.m. Eastern with AA and Tony C going over everything in the world of sports. They may even cover, go to everything in the world of pro wrestling and media. They talk about TV shows on that. And of course, they're going to give you all the pro wrestling news that you can really use if you're a pro wrestling fan. Like I used to be. Doggone it. I used to be a big fan. I'm so upset with how the business is gone. I stopped watching. I stopped watching WWE, but I still watch the indies. So, you know, I still watch the Shimmers. I still watch the Shines. I still get the tapes on tapes and CDs of ACW. I still watch NXT. I still keep myself versed as far as that goes. But
right.
In terms of watching Monday Night Raw week in, week out, particularly with Monday Night Football, because I've always said Monday Night Raw needs to be its best when Monday Night Football is on, because it's an option that someone would have to turn away from you. And if you go back and look at these last few Raws and get the reviews from everybody, Raw has been terrible. So
yeah, it's been really SmackDown right now.
Yeah, so you know between that and Becky Lynch, so definitely.
I like that. Which I think they should push her a little bit more is Asuka.
Asuka, yes. Yes.
I think they should push her absolutely a little bit more than what they're pushing her. But they don't sign Sonya Deville. Ronda, obviously, she comes in and wins the title. I mean, it's been about her since she got there.
Yep.
Her and Becky Lynch.
Yep. So we shall see what happens over there in a couple of weeks. I don't know what's going to happen there, but we shall see. All right, man. Thank you for joining me tonight. I do appreciate it, as always.
No doubt.
And everyone, thank you for joining me. Thank you for having us in your living room to discuss everything in the world of sports. Until next week, 11:15 p.m. Eastern. Oh, and don't forget, too, we got Turnbuckle Throwbacks coming on Friday night at 9 p.m., followed by this fine show, The Sports Report, Monday nights at 11:15. For myself, for Gene, everyone have a great night, and everyone, please take care.